Chapter 47. Mr. Irwin. And this sort of thing, people are constantly confounding liberality with riot and disorder. It sounds very grand to say that, so many sheep and oxen were roasted whole, and everybody ate who liked to come, but in the end it generally happens that no one has had an enjoyable meal. If the people get a good dinner, and a moderate quantity of ale in the middle of the day, they'll be able to enjoy the games as the day cools. You can't hinder some of them from getting too much towards evening, but drunkenness and darkness go better together than drunkenness and daylight. Well, I hope there won't be much of it. I've kept the Treddleston people away by having a feast for them in the town. And I've got Casson and Adam Bede, and some other good fellows to look to the giving out of ale in the booths, and to take care things don't go too far. Come, let us go up above now, and see the dinner tables for the large tenants. They went up the stone staircase leading simply to the long gallery above the cloisters, a gallery where all the moldy worthless old pictures had been banished for the last three generations, moldy portraits of Queen Elizabeth and her ladies, General Monk with his eye knocked out, Daniel very much in the dark among the lions, and Julius Caesar on horseback, with a high nose and laurel crown, holding his commentaries in his hand. What a capital thing it is that they saved this piece of the old abbey, said Arthur. If I'm ever master here, I shall do up the gallery in first-rate style. We've got no room in the house a third as large as this. That second table is for the farmers' wives and children. Mrs. Best said it would be more comfortable for the mothers and children to be by themselves. I was determined to have the children, and make a regular family thing of it. I shall be the old squire to those little lads and lasses someday, and they'll tell their children what a much finer young fellow I was than my own son. There's a table for the women and children below as well. But you will see them all. You will come up with me after dinner, I hope? Yes, to be sure, said Mr. Irwin. Wouldn't miss your maiden speech to the tenantry. And there will be something else you'll like to hear, said Arthur. Let us go into the library, and I'll tell you all about it, while my grandfather is in the drawing room with the ladies. Something that will surprise you, he continued, as they sat down. My grandfather has come round after all. What, about Adam? Yes, I should have ridden over to tell you about it, only I was so busy. You know I told you I had quite given up arguing the matter with him, I thought it was hopeless, but yesterday morning he asked me to come in here to him, before I went out, and astonished me by saying that he had decided on all the new arrangements he should make in consequence of old Satchel being obliged to lay by work, and that he intended to employ Adam in superintending the woods at a salary of a guinea a week, and the use of a pony to be kept here. I believe the secret of it is, he saw from the first it would be a profitable plan, but he had some particular dislike of Adam to get over, and besides, the fact that I propose a thing is generally a reason with him for rejecting it. There's the most curious contradiction in my grandfather. I know he means to leave me all the money he has saved, and he is likely enough to have cut off poor Aunt Lydia, who has been a slave to him all her life, with only 500 a year, for the sake of giving me all the more, and yet I sometimes think he positively hates me, because I'm his heir. I believe if I were to break my neck, he would feel it the greatest misfortune that could befall him, and yet it seems a pleasure to him to make my life a series of petty annoyances. Ah, my boy, it is not only woman's love, that is, two Greek words omitted, as old Aeschylus calls it. There's plenty of unloving love in the world of a masculine kind. But tell me about Adam. Has he accepted the post? I don't see that it can be much more profitable than his present work, though, to be sure, it will leave him a good deal of time on his own hands. Well, I felt some doubt about it when I spoke to him, and he seemed to hesitate at first. His objection was that he thought he should not be able to satisfy my grandfather. but I begged him as a personal favor to me, not to let any reason prevent him from accepting the place, if he really liked the employment, and would not be giving up anything that was more profitable to him. And he assured me he should like it of all things. It would be a great step forward for him in business, and it would enable him to do what he had long wished to do, to give up working for Birch. He says he shall have plenty of time to superintend a little business of his own, which he and Seth will carry on, and will perhaps be able to enlarge by degrees. So he has agreed at last, and I have arranged that he shall dine with the large tenants today, and I mean to announce the appointment to them, and ask them to drink Adam's health. It's a little drama I've got up in honor of my friend Adam. He's a fine fellow, and I like the opportunity of letting people know that I think so. A drama in which friend Arthur piques himself on having a pretty part to play, said Mr. Irwin, smiling. But when he saw Arthur color, he went on relentingly, "My part, you know, is always that of the old fogey who sees nothing to admire in the young folks. I don't like to admit that I'm proud of my pupil when he does graceful things. But I must play the amiable old gentleman for once, and second your toast in honor of Adam. Has your grandfather yielded on the other point too, and agreed to have a respectable man as steward?" "Oh no," said Arthur, rising from his chair with an air of impatience and walking along the room with his hands in his pockets. "He's got some project or other about letting the Chase farm and bargaining for a supply of milk and butter for the house. But I ask no questions about it, it makes me too angry. I believe he means to do all the business himself, and have nothing in the shape of a steward. It's amazing what energy he has, though." "Well, we'll go to the ladies now," said Mr. Irwin, rising too. "I want to tell my mother what a splendid throne you've prepared for her under the marquee." "Yes, and we must be going to luncheon too," said Arthur. "Tea must be 2 o'clock, for there is the gong beginning to sound for the tenants' dinners." Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.